It's a schuss and an honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. Such jam-packed parshas, and we're up to parshas Chayesara, the life of Chayesara. Even though Rashi brings down that really it's talking about the death of Sarah, that Sarah was Nifteres. But again, when Sadikim, when Sarah passes away, it makes such a roshim on the world. But there's an amazing medrash. The medrash says like this. Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha, and he saw all his talmidim, and guess what? All his talmidim were falling asleep. Not like you guys here, but all the talmidim were falling asleep. And he was going to try to rile them up. He was going to try to get them to awaken. And he said the following drasha. We know that in Perek of Gimel Pasuk Aleph, right in the beginning of the parasha, it says, "Vayu chayei Sarah mea shana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim shnei chayei Sarah." That Sarah's life was 127 years, 127, and these were the years of Sarah's life. And Rabbi Akiva came along and said, just like Sarah's life was 127 years, so too Esther. Esther HaMalka, as we know, the story of Purim saving with beating out Haman and with Mordechai, Esther and Mordechai saving Klal Yisrael. And when they heard that drasha, all the Talmidim woke up. Question one, what is that drasha? How did Rabbi Akiva, why specifically is it Rabbi Akiva? Question one. Question two, Rashi says right in the beginning of the parsha, it's always the first Rashis that are so juiced up, Rashi says that it breaks it up. Mea shana, the esrim shana, the sheva shanim. Right? If you'd ask someone, how old are you? I'm 35. I'm 30 and 5. You'd be like, whoa, what's wrong with this guy? But Rashi picks up on that right away, and it breaks it down. 127, doing upper math for you. And Rashi says an amazing thing. Rashi says that when she was 100, kibat esrim lechet, that when she was 100, she was like 20 techet, which she didn't have so much sin. And when she was 20, lo chato. And when she says an amazing thing, bas esrim, when she was 20, she was like a 7-year-old. Because she says, Rashi, according to Medrash, that she was beautiful. But again, usually you don't view a 7-year-old as beautiful. You know, maybe Shabbaton this week, I have a lot of little kids. You know, my 7-year-old, you know, she's beautiful. But you don't view a 7-year-old as beautiful. So what is Rashi saying that a 20-year-old, she was like 7 in terms of beauty? And then Rashi even says, to be, we'll call it, Shnei Chayei Sarah Kulan Shavim Latova. That all of her years were Latova. But guess what? She had a very hard life. She couldn't have children for so long. She had to deal with the Hagar. She had to deal with the Ishmael. She had a very, very hard life. She was taken from Avimelech. She was taken from Paro. There were so many hard things. Really, Kulan Shavim Latova. And lastly, we know that we have the story, 67 extra psukim in the Torah of Eliezer. In the Torah, he's only referred to as Eved Avram. He's going and finding the wife for Yitzchak, and he's told something amazing. He's told, listen, you can't take a wife from Canaan. He could have made it so easy. Could have just went to Canaan, found a wife for Yitzchak, but no, you can't go to Canaan, but you have to go to Haran. But guess what? There's some, almost everyone was Ovid Avodah Zarah. Right? As we know, Rivka came from a house of Besuel, from someone that wasn't a good guy. Her brother was a love on. It wasn't so good. So why specifically ask the Gran, ask the Kliokar, did Eliezer have to go and get a wife from Haran? So let's just review the questions, a bunch of questions, and obviously we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives. The first question, again, you got to have in your back pockets, is the drasha of Rabbi Akiva, 127 years of Sarah, 127 provinces that Esther HaMalka was the queen of. What's the connection? What's the correlation? Question two, why are we breaking up the years 127, and really, was her life cool and shoving Latova? Was her life really full of goodness? There were so many hardships. And lastly, why specifically are you not allowed to take a wife from Canaan, but you have to take a wife from Haran? So, last week, as you guys all remember, we spoke about how there's a difference. We asked whose test was it. I actually spoke it over with different Rabbonim and Givat Zev, asking them what they think about it. Because it says in the Torah that Hashem tested Avraham. And if you look in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hey, it said, Asara Nisyonos, it seems like Avraham's test. But as we said, that there's also a test for Yitzchak, Akedas Yitzchak, quoting my father-in-law, Rabbi Alan Schwartz, that they had to bind him down. And we said a difference. We said that to die on Kiddush Hashem is such a high level. And again, no one should ever, right? It's very hard to die on Kiddush Hashem. People in the Holocaust, imagine, we lost 6 million from the Nazis, Yach Shmo. So many people, they died on Kiddush Hashem. But what's greater, to die on Kiddush Hashem or to live on Kiddush Hashem? And seemingly, it's to live al Kiddush Hashem, because there's so many challenges we have. But Rabbi Yonah says an amazing thing. If I would tell you, what was the last test? What was the final? Again, he had 10 tests. The Rishonim say that he had more than 10. But what was the pinnacle? What was the last test? So most Rishonim say that the last test was Akedas Yitzchak. We know that we read Akedas Yitzchak Rosh Hashanah every morning. You get there early, you could say you could talk about Akedas Yitzchak. That was the pinnacle. His whole life was to serve Hashem, was to bring an offspring that was going to continue Klal Yisrael. And now Hashem's telling him that you have to kill your son. Such a hard test. But comes along the Heiliger Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know what the last test was? Right in the beginning of this week's parsha, Chayei Sarah, that he had to bury Sarah. Not only that, says Rabbeinu Yonah, he had to deal with an Ephron. He had to deal with the trickster. Again, in Chazal, it's not so clear that Ephron was a bad guy. He's just a business guy. Right? He's like that old car salesman trying to... But the Midrashim say that he really tried to trick. He switched the prices. He really wasn't a good guy. So what was that test? With Jonathan Sachs, that's how he actually, right, they're having a lot of... he passed away last year, and he has a lot of... He was a tremendous leader in Klal Yisrael, and he has a book called Lessons in Leadership. And he says something amazing. 7 times in the Torah, it says that Avraham is going to get Eretz Yisrael. 3 times it talks about Maris HaMachpelah, that there's going to be Hevron, and they're going to write this Parsha Chayisorah. It's a big thing. People go to Hevron. That he's going to bury. All the Avos are going to be in Hevron. So what is Avraham nervous about? He's promised from Hashem. He's promised it's going to happen. So Rav Jonathan Sachs says something amazing. He says that, okay, you're going to be promised from Hashem, and it's going to happen, but a person needs to do his ishtadlis. A person needs to work hard. A person needs to not give up. A person has to realize that he has so much greatness within him, and he can't give up. Because when you're dealing with an Ephron's a hard personality, but there's something amazing. And so a refrain brings down, you know what the test was? Can you imagine, Chas v'Shalom? You lose your life partner. You lose the person that you do everything with. And now Avraham, he's confronted with a challenge. He doesn't have his wife. He doesn't have Sarah. And now any normal person, when they lose their wife, they're in a bad mood. Things are hard for them. And he's trying to bury his wife. And then he starts dealing with a trickster. Most people would lose it. Their moods, come on, I'm in a terrible mood. This is so difficult for me. But says our friend that Avraham was able to work benachas. He understood, he was on such a high level that he understood that everything's coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And even when a person has a bad mood, and a person's not in a good zone, a person's going through a hard time, I'm not going to let it out on someone else. So many times we have a bad mood, and then we let it out on our roommates, we let it out. I remember I was once talking about this, and one of my children said, Todd, they heard me talking, sometimes my kids listen to my parshas here, yeah, and they said, Tati, and then I started, Chas v'Shalom, I wasn't yelling at them, but I was talking loudly, and they said, Tati, didn't you say that your moods can't affect others? I'm like, yeah, you're right, thank you, I'll calm down. And you know, even the Gedolim, when they would get angry sometimes, again, everyone has things, again, you're not really allowed to get angry, but they would put on special jackets to calm themselves. But Avraham was total... He was there, and he said, listen, it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't let your mood affect others. Such an important lesson. You know, they tell a great story, famous story of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach was the gadol. He was the gadol hador in Eretz Yisrael. You know, he lived in Shaar Chesed. Around my parents, shout out to my parents. They have an apartment in Shaar Chesed, and he was a posek, and he was the gadol hador. And Shlomo Zalman Orbach had such a special connection with his wife. He actually said at the Levaya that I never ever fought with my wife. I don't have to ask. Again, you always have to ask for mechila. I don't have to ask for mechila because I never fought with my wife. Did I have arguments with my wife? Maybe. But I never fought with my wife because we were on the same page. Listen to this crazy story. He was in the hospital and his wife was on her deathbed. And it turns out she passed away and she was nifter. You know, the whole idea of nifter. Why is it called nifter? Why nifter? Because patur. After 120 years, a person is putter from mitzvos. That's why it's called nifter. Amazing. So his wife just passed away. And someone's in the hospital, and they see the great Gadol Hador, and they see Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And they go over to Shlomo Zalman Orbach and said, I have amazing news to tell you. I just want to let you know, I just had a baby girl. Again, he just lost his wife, like 10 minutes before that. And Shlomo Zalman Orbach looked at him with such a happy face, and he said, wow, what an amazing simcha. What an amazing simcha. I'm so happy for you. And then that person later that night found out that Shlomo Zalman Orbach lost his wife. Can you just imagine? What a high level. It wasn't so long ago Shlomo Zalman Orbach lived, right? And a person, because he realizes that moods can't affect others. I think I told the story even last week. And one of my Rebbeim, Rav Elk, right, and still he's one of my Rebbeim, I learned with him, he's from my Shana Bet, when I was learning in Rav Wilson's yeshiva, he's my, a Rebbe of mine for 20 years, you know, he's been with me for everything, he told me a great story, he learns in Brisk by Rav Avin Yoshua, one of the great yeshivas. If I said this last week, a little chazara, halavai, we should take it in. He said that Rav Avin Yoshua has everything on his head, the one of the Gedolim, Rav Shiva Brisk, and he has everything on his head. He has all the finances and all the different things. And before he knocks and before he walks into his house, he says, all this stuff I'm just going to put aside. Because if I come in and my wife sees me in a stressed out mood and, you know, being upset and all these things going on in my head, she's going to think, oh, maybe she did something and it's not going to be good for her. So therefore, before he walks into the house, he says, I have to be okay. I have to be happy for my wife, everything she does for me. So this idea that the test of Avraham was how to deal with his hardship, because Akedas Yitzchak was an amazing experience, and we still talk about Akedas Yitzchak, and according to most Rishonim, it was the final test. But they say that that was a level of inspiration. It's not just about living through inspiration. Again, we have inspiring moments. So many inspiring moments. We finally, we work on a Gemara and we can't get it. And finally, after working, pushing, in, oh, I'm inspired. Wow. Or you hear a shir, or you see, you have a beautiful kumzitz, or something big happens, that's inspiration. But inspiration is something that's for the moment. Inspiration is you can see where you can be. But it's like, I heard a good mashal. It's like you have that thunderstorm. And it's pouring and it's dark. And all of a sudden you see that bolt of lightning. That's inspiration. Is it gonna? It's for one second you have inspiration. But it might be dark. But you got to push through to get to that inspiration. Avraham realized his test. He realized the test of losing his wife Sarah. You know, I was once in the old city. And I was walking. And I bumped in, but he was Rav Nevinsol, one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael in the Old City. And I saw Rav Nevinsol, and I think I just saw this Medrash, and I didn't really know what the pshat was, what it meant. And I turned, I asked Rav Nevinsol, because I always tell you, you know, my grandfather, Rav Bamzer Zatzal, always said you got to have a Dvar Torah in your back pocket. You never know who you're going to bump into, you never know what's going to happen. You know, one time I was on the plane, and a guy, he didn't look so frum, but it turns out that he went to yeshiva, and I had some Dvar Torahs in my pocket, and I started talking, and we actually built a nice relationship a long time ago. So you got to always have something. So I bumped into Rav Nevinsol, one of the Gedolim, and I said to him, what's pshat in this Medrash? And he knew the Medrash, because all the Gedolim know everything. And he looks at me and he says, Koyach Hazman, the power of time. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, I understood it a little, but he said, Koyach Hazman. And then Siyata Deshmaya, later in the week, I heard Roshom Rasner on one of his shirim quoting this medrash, and he quoted a beautiful Chedushi Harim to answer, and basically saying what Nevin Zal said. If you do the math, the upper math, 127 and 127, what does that mean? You divide, right? 127 divided by 127, you guys are upper math guys, that's one. That means every year there was a province that went up. That means every month there was a city, a New York City going up in a month. That means every day there was a town that went up. Every second there was a house that was built. Says the great Rabbi Akiva, wake up. Power of time. We all have the power of time. And we spoke about this in Parshas Noach, that he was able to be Matzachain because he had fingers. He had more time. And we have so much time. We're in yeshiva now. We have so much time. And we have to take advantage of that time. We have to utilize that time. You know, they tell a great story. They tell a story with the great Rav Naftali Trupp. Rav Naftali Trupp was killed by the Nazis of Yach Shemo. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin. He was one of the Gedolim. And he was on his deathbed. And the whole yeshiva took something upon themselves. They said, who's going to give up some of their years of their life to save the great Gadol Hador? So one person said, I'll give a week up of my life. Another person said, I'll give a month up of my life. They asked the great Chofetz Chaim. They came to the Chofetz Chaim and they said, Chofetz Chaim, how much time? You're the Gadol Hador. You're the great. You're so Meir Kagan HaKoyin. How much time will you give up of your life for the great Rav Naftali Trupp? And the Chofetz Chaim said, I'll give him 1 minute. And again, you hear these stories and you're like, I don't know, I'm not the Chofetz Chaim. I'm not a Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I'm not. But again, we could take inspiration because we could strive for greatness. We could realize that we can do it. We could do anything we set our minds to. The Koyach V'Kabbalah says, Shnei Chayei Sara. Why does it say Shnei? Right? Why does it say Shnei Chayei Sara? Why the double Lashon? So he explains beautifully that there's an idea of Guf and Neshama. Because we're all here in this world. Because we all have a Guf, we all have a body, and we all have a Neshama. But the whole idea is to take that Guf, take that body and channel it together to the Neshama. And again, we have struggles. We see things that maybe we shouldn't see. But the whole idea is to take Kedusha of the Neshama, that lofty soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokai Neshama, Shenasasa Bi, that Hashem gave us this Neshama. And He wants to put it in the Neshama with the Guf. And that's the idea. As the Ramban says, Nasa Adam Kisamo B'Tselem, right? In the beginning of Bereishis, Nasa Adam, that we take the Guf, the body, and we take the Neshama, and we put it together. And that's the struggle of life. That we have ups and we have downs, and we fall sometimes. Sometimes we're more into our body, and we forget about the Neshama. But the whole idea is to put them together. That's why. So what is 127? 127. What's the pshat with that? And the answer is because a 7-year-old has real beauty. They don't need to cover it up with anything. There's real pure beauty. Sarah was beautiful. Her midos were out of this world. She and Avraham built together Klal Yisrael. They were the first ones going out and affecting the whole world. Not for themselves, but for others. Whenever you do something for yourself, it doesn't usually last. But when you do for others, like we spoke about last week, getting out of yourself, and it's not easy. While as little babies, we cry, and right, we come out with our hands open, trying to grab everything. Because, again, and some people are little babies their whole lives. Right? But we don't want to be babies. We want to give to others and give people what they need. That's the whole idea. I got my uncle from my uncle, Gedalia Mamzer, that it's such an important idea that you have to just try to give the person what they need. Again, it's hard. It's difficult sometimes. But Sarah lived a life of kulam shavim l'toiva. Even though she had hardships, even though she had such problems, she realized that there's a plan. The Rabbeinu Shalom has a plan for all of us. And sometimes our whole life we won't know. But we have to just keep on, like as Rav Jonathan Sacks said, that we have to just keep on pushing, keep on going, and you'll have ups and you have downs. Even this week, some guys were talking to me that, you know, they had such a good start and now they're falling. That's normal. You shouldn't beat yourself up. Beating yourself up doesn't get you anywhere, but look at the positive. Look at the positive that you have the ability to get up. And lastly, says the Drushas Haran, why specifically can't you take, why could Avram not take a wife for Yitzchak from Canaan, but from Haran? Because Canaan, they didn't have good midos. They didn't have good character traits. And one of the most important things in life, obviously you have to learn, and obviously you have to daven, and you have to build a relationship with Hashem. But also a person has to grow in his character traits. He has to grow in his midos. He has to realize that we all have different tevas, but we have to work on it. That's what we're all about. We have to work on it. And the people of Haran, a Rivka, is a person that works on their character traits. Says the Kli Yakar, specifically, if Yitzchak is going to continue this amazing thing that Avram and Sarah started, it all starts with your character traits. You know, they say of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right? The Gadol Hador, as Hashem will be able to see him soon. The Gadol Hador, you know, all he wants to do is sit and learn. He knows everything, but he wants to sit and learn. Says Rav Steinman, you know why he became the Gadol Hador? Because he gives so much time to others. Although he wants to keep on learning and not be bothered, he's a chesed man. He listens to people, he listens to their problems, he gives them brachas, he's there for them. And we all have to work on our chesed, work on our giving to others, work on our midos, because we all have different midos, but we all have the ability for greatness. So what's the yisod? The yisod is that we might have challenges, which we speak about a lot, but we have to realize what we're doing positively, how we're doing great. We have to realize the koyach hazman. We're in yeshiva now. And anyone listening to this, realize that you have the power of time. You could accomplish so much. Kulam shavin latova. Why is it kulam shavin latova? Because her life was about always working, always working. Sometimes you fall, but you get up. And she had hardships. But look what she created. We all come from an Avram and a Sarah. Because they didn't give up. We have to work on our character traits. That's why, again, Chiddushei Haran, that's why the Ran says you have to take specifically from Haran. So Bezus Hashem, we should keep on going, pushing ourselves, learning the Torah, working on our midos, on our character traits, realizing that we could accomplish whatever we set our minds to. We just have to set our minds to it. And Bezus Hashem, everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.